Ready to get your sports banter on? Brian Henninger, love child of Albert Einstein and Howard Cosell, with a body chiseled by Zeus himself. Brandon Sharples, a man who could beat Mike Tyson. In a spelling bee, together they form the At Odds Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Monday, February 26th, 2018, and we are live with the At Odds Podcast. Welcome. We have an awesome show in store for you guys today. So I'm your host, Brian Henninger, joined as always by silky smooth Brandon Sharples. Brandon, how you doing tonight, man?
What's up, man? Just the right amount of silky and just the right amount of smooth tonight. I'm just been watching The Office today, man, doing some notes on some blogs I'm going to be writing, or that I actually already written. Yeah, I watch The Office. Like, The Office just puts me in an amazing mood. It puts me in an amazing mood. It's like one of those things, like, if you're ever, like, having a bad day, or just, like, a whatever day, and you just want to smile and laugh, I feel like The Office is the best show to watch. Like, today I was watching the episode where what's his face? Who's a big black? Stanley was threatening to leave to go to the Utica branch.
Karen's branch. Yep.
Yeah. So he's threatening to leave to the Utica branch. Yeah. And he Michael does all these shit to go try and, like, sabotage that office to try and keep Stanley there. Well, he ends up giving up, and he tells Stanley, you know, you can go, and he tells Pam, come into my office, I need help writing a wanted ad. He's, like, all depressed, laying on the ground in his office. He's like, wanted, one middle-aged black man with sass. I thought that was, like, one of the best lines ever. So, yeah, I thought that was pretty funny. And I watch The Office pretty much every day, and I was just writing some shit up, doing some research on some blogs, make sure I got everything correct before I publish them. And yeah, man, I made some chicken pesto for dinner, and then you know what I had? This is awesome. I don't know if you like these or not, but I love White Castle. I'm a big White Castle fan. I don't know if you guys like White Castle.
Crave Case.
I love White Castle. Yeah. Crave Case, exactly. I'll talk about that.
Order a Crave Case, me and DeCesar at Ohio State, and just slam it.
Oh, yeah. So, like, basically, I buy the little, like, two burger individual wrapped ones, and I'll take them, and I will put them in my, you know, like a minute and a half, and you eat them. And I always have them on hand, dude, whenever I feel like it. So I ate that part, too. But the reason I brought that up is, we got our camera, and I think this weekend I'm going to be going down to Marysville for my niece's birthday party. And then I'm going to meet up with some people, and we're going to do, like, our first food and beer review video. But one of the things that I wanted to do is I wanted to go down to Cincinnati with our buddy Reed. You love Reed. That's Hemi's arch nemesis from high school. But yeah, I wanted to go down there, and I told him, I'm like, dude, we're going to have to hit up White Castle when I get down there. And I want to videotape us doing a Crave Case challenge. So we each get a Crave Case and see who can smash it first. And if we can finish it, and who can do it the fastest. So I thought that would be pretty funny, dude. Do you ever finish an entire Crave Case to yourself?
Not by myself. I mean, I never tried, but I mean, I would get one and share it with DeCesar, and we would eat it that night. So I know I could smash half of one. No problem. Probably more than half of one.
I actually thought about the idea of the movie Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle. I actually had the idea of me and Reed, at least me, he can get a Crave Case, but at least me ordering that exact amount of food that they ordered when they finally got to White Castle and see if I can finish it. I think that'd be so fucking dope. What do you think?
I mean, dude, I think that'd be it wouldn't be the most timely challenge, but I mean, it would be funny as fuck. especially if you could actually pull it off.
Yeah, well, that's why when you edit the video, you just do that whole editing practice where you're basically fast-forwarding the shit. And, you know, people are watching you eat. It's like boom, 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 like really fast. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what I'm going to do. I think I'm going to try the Harold and Kumar challenge. I may fucking start a trend here. I think, you know what, I think I'm going to do that because that's going to be our way to the top. That's going to be the ticket to the top for Ad Odds and Belly Up. I'm going to do this challenge. I'm going to fucking succeed, go viral, and Belly Up will be up with Barstool on the top of the totem pole for fucked up sports, you know, media companies. So, yeah, dude, this is our ticket, man. Belly Up fam, my ticket is me doing the fucking the Harold and Kumar challenge. That's what I'm going to be doing.
We have it.
Yeah, dude. I think that you should try this with me. What do you
Maybe
think?
Maybe sometime. I don't know about time. It's been a while.
You can do it.
That shit fucks me up. Really. Fucks up my intestines though. All those onions, those little onion crystals.
Yeah. Dude, they're amazing though. But I gotta imagine that's probably not gonna be too good in my stomach. What do you think?
I don't know about you, but like the last times I ever had White Castle, we would eat, smash the whole Crave case, and then the next day, you just wouldn't want to be around me or to Caesar for like 24 hours because it was just the nastiest, smelliest farts for a full day just from all those goddamn onions. I mean, that is at least, if you eat a whole Crave case, you are absorbing about 1,000% of your daily value of onions, okay? Maybe more. Probably more.
Probably, huh? Yeah, I don't know, man. I think that'd be an amazing challenge, though. I got to do stuff like that. Get those, like, big-ass, like, Taco Bell. Ooh, look at that. There we go. Fixing my chair here. But, yeah, I like that idea. I got to go big or go home on these first couple of challenges. You know what I mean? I got to study up on my beer vocabulary so I don't sound like a retard when I talk about the beer I'm drinking. You know what I mean?
Hey, maybe you could be the guy that relates it to the common man. This beer.
I want to, but I was looking at these, there's that, remember I told you that stupid fat dude that does the shit for Barstool?
Yeah.
And he stole my idea, I always say. Well, the comment sections always rip his ass apart for not talking properly about beer. So, and they're like, we got to get this fucking guy out of here. He's the worst part of Barstool and all this shit. And I'm like, oh man, I'm going to have to like really bring my A game on this shit. So, but yeah,
well, I would, start but I did want to talk about,
yeah. Well, I don't want to be like hey, this is, I'm drinking the Bud Light so smooth. No, I want to be like, you know, I want to talk some craft beer, some cool shit. Lava
you should learn what the IBUs, the bitterness units, like that. That's actually really interesting.
Yeah, that's what I think I should be doing. But I want to do this weekend. Lob told me that there's this pub brewery place down in Delaware where he lives, and he said it's really cool. They got some cool, like, really a kind of more exotic style beers. They got some cool drinks they light on fire and do all kinds of cool shit with, tricks and stuff. So I'm going to go in there, and he said there's food and there's burgers, beers. So
you're going to Delaware for sure?
Yeah.
All right. I got a thing for you to go to for food if you're going to Delaware.
What, that burger place?
Thurman's Cafe. They have a location in downtown Columbus, but that location is really small and you got to wait like over an hour. The one in, they opened a second location in Delaware, and it's a lot bigger. You can actually like get seated right away. And I'm not joking. It's still the greatest burger I've ever had in my life. The Thurman burger. If you want to go crazy, get the Thurmanator. It's like a foot tall. The Thurmanator.
The Thurmanator?
Yeah. But the Thurman burger is the best burger I've ever had in my life. The Thurmanator is overkill because it's 2 3-quarter pound patties with a pound of ham on top. And then like eight cheeses.
Nice, dude.
But yeah.
We need to check that out. But speaking of, is there like a, can you get like, so hold on. If you finish this Thurmanator burger, do you get like your name on the board? Do you get like, is there like a wall of fame?
Nope, I don't think so. It's just an awesome burger.
Fucking huge. They should do that.
Yeah.
They attract more people.
The restaurant's actually called Son of Thurman's or something like that. Son of Thurman instead of Thurman Cafe.
Yeah. So, yeah, I wanted to talk about our contest we're having for Belly Up Sports. We're having voting for the hottest college softball team in the country right now. And then we took all the teams from all the Power Five conferences and we put a vote in, and everybody's voting right now at bellyupsports.com. I put the link up in here. So if you guys want to click the link, go ahead and click that link, go in and vote for all the conferences. And then in the next round, I think, will be all the conference winners against each other. And then that basically picks the hottest team in the country. Right now, it looks like, well, let me see. Let's see what we got going on here. Arizona and Washington are tied for the Pac-12. Looks like Ole Miss is smoking in the SEC. FSU is killing it in the ACC. And Oklahoma and Baylor in the Big 12. Oh, it also looks like Florida's doing good too. We got a lot of teams, so we got a bunch
of
votes going in.
How long is voting open?
Till I think the 4th. I think till Sunday.
Okay, and then we have the finalists duke it out against each other.
Yeah, we can do that. So we're gonna have like all the top five teams like duke it out, and that will be another round of voting, and then we'll crown the hottest softball team in America, and we'll give them a certificate. So these teams are actually enjoying this. We've had some other teams like retweet us, and we've been like messaging players from these teams behind the scenes, and they're all for it. We haven't had anybody talking about how we're degrading them as women by doing this. So far, so good. You know what I mean? So I'm pretty pumped about that, because I was worried about getting hit by a bunch of fem Nazis telling us we're degrading women for doing this. So far, so good. So I'm pretty happy about that. Yeah, man. I really liked Washington's team. I think they looked pretty hot. So if the Washington girls hear this, you guys look good right now. And I will make sure that you guys get as many votes as I can cast for you.
Are you allowed to vote once per day? What's the whole rules on this?
I'd have to look. There's a rules on the bottom of the page. It tells you. I don't know if they do it by IP address or if you can do once a day. I don't know how that works. Maybe you can vote as many times as you want, and we can just push whoever we want into the finals. I don't know. We'll have to talk to Mike. Mike runs this. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. This is Mike's brainchild.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good idea.
I'm going to do this for women's basketball. When March Madness starts, I'm doing the hottest women's basketball team. And I'm going to put them in a bracket and have everybody.
It's going to be like, you know, they're like 80% lesbians, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's fine. There's hot lesbians all over the place.
Just that making sure matter. You knew.
Yeah. I'm excited for that. Who cares? But yeah. So everybody go to bellyupsports.com, and that link that I put up there right in the heading of this video, click it and vote. It takes you a couple seconds. It's not a big deal. And you get to see some pictures of some really pretty girls. And you get to be a part of history, crowning the first ever hottest NCAA softball national champion, right? So who doesn't want to be a part of history?
Yeah,
I think that'd be sweet. Yeah. So, but yeah, you want to get into our first topic? What do you want to talk about? Like Ronda Rousey?
Let's go Rousey, because for those of you that weren't aware, Ronda Rousey signed with the WWE. She has been training at their performance center. Like, she's basically not fighting anymore. She hasn't said for sure that she'll never fight again, but she debuted at the Royal Rumble about a month ago, and all she did was come out and point at the WrestleMania sign. She didn't actually like do anything. Like, it was just the one chick won the Royal Rumble, then Ronda Rousey came out and pointed at the sign. So it wasn't that big of a deal. But they had like her official contract signing, and I'm putting that in quotation marks because they always have contract signings in WWE, and they always like basically turn it into like a character building moment where the two people square off. But for this, it was Ronda signing with WWE, and it was like a big official thing. But what was hilarious was apparently Stephanie McMahon and Triple H were trying to screw Ronda over. So Ronda picked up Triple H and slammed him through a table. And then Stephanie McMahon slapped Ronda in the face, and then Ronda signed the contract. And she's probably going to be facing, in a two-on-two match, Ronda and Kurt Angle against Triple H and Stephanie McMahon at WrestleMania.
So, how much does she get paid for this?
Oh, I'm sure it'll be, like, for her contract, it was, I'm sure, is well over $1 million.
Oh, no, way more than that. It's got to be way more than $1 million. We should look that up if you get a chance. But
I don't know if the details are out on how much she's getting made. I from all I've heard, it's like a similar to Brock Lesnar's deal, where she doesn't have to go out and wrestle every night, but she's just going to make appearances at the pay-per-views and spot appearances at other places when they deem necessary. So she's going to be used as kind of a special attraction moving forward. But what do you think about this? I mean, she went from the baddest bitch on the planet, and now, you know, she's fake fighting.
I don't like her, so I don't have a whole lot of good things to say about Ronda Rousey, but I think it's fine. I mean, she's trying to make money. She's doing the best way she can. You know, she's wanted to be a movie star, and I think it took a little bit of luster away from her when she was getting her ass whooped. And then now that she's in the WWE, I mean, they make really good money. And since that, she'll probably be, you know, probably the most well-known WWE women's fighter there is, wrestler there is, now that she's there. She's going to make good money. I'm sure they'll make her a women's champion. I mean, I'm sure she'll have plenty of opportunities to build her brand as a WWE champ. Obviously, she's probably not going to fight in the UFC anymore. I think she got exposed once she started. Once she came through, I felt like the women's divisions were extremely weak in UFC. I mean, they had some decent fighters and everything, but, you know, she fought some, you know, it was a brand new thing. You know, there was really no other mainstream women's MMA out there. And, you know, she wasn't fighting really that top notch of fighters. Like, Misha Tate's like a good fighter, but, you know, she was like a pioneer too. You know, it's like, you know, each generation gets better, and, you know, all the fighters.
Misha Tate became the champ after Ronda. She actually choked out Holly Holm, the girl that knocked out Ronda.
But she's getting kind of beat up. All Holly had to do was just relax and not get choked out. But
yeah, I know.
I felt that, you know, Ronda was just like a one-trick pony, man. You know what I mean? She armbarred people. She was a good grappler. She hip-tossed people and armbarred them. And then, like, Beth Correa just kind of let her punch her in the face. And that's, like, was the one time I saw her, like, KO somebody with her fist, like, badly. Mm-hmm. But, you know, once she got, you know, two times that she fought strikers, she got demolished. Not just, like, beat. She got her ass killed. She got really beat up. And
it was strikers that could avoid the takedown. Because she fought strikers before, and she smashed them when they couldn't avoid her bull rushing them and throwing them on the ground. Like, Sarah Kaufman is, you know, a pretty good women's striker, and Ronda just charged her, backed her into the fence, dragged her to the ground and armbarred her like in a minute. So I mean, she did face strikers, and Correa was a striker, and Ronda knocked her ass out. And so really what her weakness was somebody that has good striking, that knew how to utilize distance and could avoid Ronda, you know, charging in. And she just never really evolved past that.
I never seen a champ that was like that hyped, like have that, such a glaring weakness that was finally exposed like that. Like, she kind of reminded me of, I love Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson's like one of my favorite fighter, but he kind of got exposed when he started fighting guys who were at length. And hold on one second. I gotta have a chat experience. So basically, Mike Tyson got exposed by people that could withstand the first few minutes of the fight, kind of settling them down, and expose the fact that he wasn't very good at fighting fighters with length, like Buster Douglas. He had an awesome game plan of, you know, keeping the jab going. He was jabbing the shit out of Tyson and just working in the uppercuts and stuff. And then Lennox Lewis did the same thing.
Seriously, either.
Yeah. It's not just that. Like, I'm not saying Buster Douglas is better than Tyson. I love Tyson. Like, it's not that at all. It's just that he had a game plan that Tyson wasn't ready for and exposed that. And then Lennox Lewis is super tall and long, heavyweight, and he smoked Tyson. And same with Evander Holyfield. Evander Holyfield, like, they all utilized that jab, kept Tyson kind of back and didn't let him just get in there and bull rush him. And that's kind of reminds me of Rousey. Like, once you know, Holly Holm figured her out, it kind of set the blueprint of how to kick her ass. And then, you know, she comes back in, gets that title shot, and gets just, that was her fight against
Amanda Nunes.
What's her name? Nunes.
It was Amanda Nunes. She fucking murdered her.
Yeah. Yeah. That was the most lopsided championship fight I've ever seen. And one of the most lopsided fights I've ever seen, period.
Yeah. It was, you know what's really hilarious? Bad. Like, Nunes, when she was in Strikeforce, she faced Alexis Davis, a girl that Ronda beat in about 12 seconds. And Alexis Davis made it to the second round against Nunes and then finished her. And like, Ronda couldn't, like, she stood and traded with her, and then she got her ass knocked out again. She couldn't get it to the floor. And when she faced somebody that hits hard, she got exposed. So basically, what I find interesting is WWE is trying to, like, use Ronda as this baddest bitch on the planet, but, I mean, she's lost her last two fights violently, like, and got embarrassed in both of those fights, like, didn't even really get much going offensively at all in either of them, and now they're trying to, like, promote her as this super tough, badass chick, and you know what? I mean, WWE has some pretty good girls in their women's division, like Charlotte Flair. She's the daughter of Ric Flair, and you know, Nia Jax is like The Rock's cousin, and she's like 250 pounds. She's freaking huge. She can like throw every chick all around the ring. So I don't know, like, it's gonna be interesting seeing the WWE try to sell Ronda as a badass when she's going to be in the ring with people that are bigger than her and stronger than her.
Yeah. Like, I don't know, man. They'll figure out a way. It's a WWE, you know?
Yeah.
Brock Lesnar came back, and didn't Brock Lesnar come back and win a title or something? Like, didn't he win the belt when he came back
to WWE? He has a belt right now.
Yeah. And he got beat up a couple times. So, I mean, they did it. He did it with Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, but then
Brock
Lesnar went back to UFC and beat Mark Hunt at UFC 200. So, I mean, he still was a badass. He just wasn't good enough to be the champ anymore.
No, yeah, but he took a couple of beatings. Like, Cain Velasquez beat the shit out of him.
Yeah, Cain took the title from him, and then Overeem kicked him in the liver and folded him in half.
Yeah. So he had a couple of
kicked him right in the diverticulitis.
Let's just put it this way. They didn't bring Ronda Rousey into the WWE for her to just be kind of fucking floating there. You know, they brought her in to make headlines. They brought her in to be a champion.
Interesting is, to be good in the WWE, it's not just having star power. I mean, you have to be capable in the ring. You have to know, like, the moves and be able to execute them without looking like a piece of shit. And you have to be able to talk. And Ronda sucks at talking. She is awful at it. If you've seen any of her movies, I mean, she has like no believability whatsoever. Like she was talking last night, and that was the worst part of the whole segment. The only part that was good was when she threw Triple H through the table. So I don't know what they're going to do with her there. Like, you need to be able to act to be in WWE. You need to be able to sell, like, the reason behind why you're fighting people. Like, you need to make people care. And I don't know how she's going to be able to do that, because she is so bad at talking, like, and sounding like it matters, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, I'd have to imagine that her contract's going to be pretty big, though. Her last fight.
Oh, I'm sure it will be. Because, I mean, she was one of the highest paid fighters in the UFC at one point. I mean, with her star power, she was, you know, selling a million pay-per-views. People wanted to watch her just beat the fuck out of people. But, I mean, the second she got exposed, I mean, everything just got flipped on its head. And honestly, what pisses me off about Ronda is, you know, as being a part of the MMA media, she blamed, like, all her interviews and everything as why she lost to Holly Holm, like, because she was on Kimmel and Jimmy Fallon and Conan and doing all these interviews, like, hyping up the fight. So
yeah,
she took, like, a whole year off after getting knocked out, and then she didn't do one interview or anything heading into the Nunes fight. She was just focused on her for a whole year, and then she got smashed even worse. And yeah, she never stuck around, never went to the post-fight press conference, just disappeared off the face of the earth. Like, she does not know how to handle losing. And she's a terrible example to people. And I don't know. I don't like that she's getting this huge opportunity when, like, she got exposed so badly and looked like such a piece of shit afterwards, too.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue that point. I don't like Ronda Rousey. I thought that her shit talking against Holly Holm just looks so fake and garbage. She's terrible at shit talking.
Yeah.
I hate the way she walks out. She thinks she's like the greatest thing to ever happen to the UFC. She walks in like she didn't even like tap gloves with Holly Holm. Like, she just a big cunt and just got murdered. And I loved it. I remember watching that. I was in the happy hour in Oak Harbor, and they're streaming it from a laptop. And I watched Holly Jevros scream, and it was so awesome. I loved it so much. And yeah, I murdered them, man. I murdered all her fans that were there that night. And I was getting on Facebook, and I trashed the shit out of her. I loved it. And then she was talking about being suicidal after a loss. I'm like, you're supposed to be a champion. You can't fucking get over that. You got her loudmouth mom. I can't stand that, like, when the parents think they have to come in and try and, like, ride their kids' coattails and talk shit on their behalf. It's like, get out of here. Mm-hmm. I don't like anything about Rousey. I think Travis Brown sucks. She's going to marry that douchebag, and there's nothing to like about her. Her movies are terrible. I don't know. But the WWE is going to bring the best they can out of her because they paid for her. And I got to imagine that they're going to be they're going to be paying her a pretty penny. So
to make a shit ton of money. Yeah. All right. There's something that you need to see at some point, and it's the Ronda Rousey holla back highlight. Okay.
Yeah.
This is a preemptive gem. So I'm going to post it in your chat.
Yeah.
It's only like 13 seconds long, but it's fucking hilarious.
I have to take that into consideration, dude. I think we should talk about the NCAA scandals, man. This is going to be pretty damn big. I don't think people realize how big this is. This is
fucking massive.
This is going to be one of the biggest things that hit college sports ever, if not the biggest thing to ever hit college sports. Like, think of the death penalty for SMU and just, like, times it by 25. It's, like, really bad. Like, Arizona's Sean Miller is getting the brunt of it right now because it was leaked that he had a wiretap on him talking about paying $100,000 for Eaton, which is their, like, huge-ass center that's pretty much going to be the number one pick in the draft. But, yeah, so – That was caught on an FBI wiretap and exposed to the media. I don't know if they just threw him on the chop block. I don't know what they were doing with him, but I thought it was pretty crazy that when the FBI released these reports and everything, there's like 25 schools that are talked about in this report that are blue blood programs or like top notch programs. Basically, every top program in the country has major violations. And if they stick to their code that they've been doing and, you know, putting these teams' balls in, you know, on a vise and taking care of business with all these teams, then you're looking at like 20, 25 teams of the best programs in the country. Like the whole top 25 basically is going to be, you know, exposed and put on some sort of probation, and some of them may be kicked out of the postseason. And it's going to be pretty, it's going to be crazy to see what they do with this. Because
let's just go over some of the programs that have been exposed. I'm only going to name the teams that like are consistent NCAA, like Sweet 16 type teams. But we've got Virginia, yeah, Notre Dame, Texas, North Carolina, Kentucky, Duke, Clemson, Xavier, Wichita State, USC has been in there big time, LSU. I mean, there is one school that's not in there as far as I know. It's going to piss you off.
Is that Florida? What'd you say?
No. I said there's a school that's not in there that's probably pissing you off.
Ohio
because
State.
They're not in there. Yeah, baby. Clean as a whistle.
I would imagine they so because they've been so
they have been nicked a couple times in the past. Like I think they had to vacate the one of their final four runs.
Yeah, man. I'm telling you, this is if they stay consistent, I kind of got to believe that it can crash the postseason like next year. You know, once it's done, it could do a lot of things.
And then, like, George Mason wins it all because, like, none of the good schools are in the NCAA tournament. Or, like, Northwestern brings it home.
this is honestly going to shed light to all kinds of things. It's not just basketball, but the Lonzo Ball talked about.
Yeah.
Huh? The Lonzo Ball was talking about.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
I will let you go. No, go ahead. I'll follow.
All right. Lonzo Ball was doing an interview saying that he was never offered any money to go to UCLA, but basically everybody's been paid. And this $100,000 talk is no surprise to him. And he can name you like dozens of players that he knows personally that's gotten so many benefits and families. He's like, this is nothing new. This is nothing the NCAA didn't know about. And, you know, it's basically talking about as a joke. So you gotta imagine that's true. Right. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, and
what were you?
Yeah, well, what I was gonna say is this might just be the tip of the iceberg too, because like this is all just from one agency and a couple agents. Like that's where most of everything that they have right now. So I mean, if you just think about that, is how many like programs got exposed just by one agency? Like if they actually start getting most of the agencies involved, they could be like almost every program in the country is could get involved because I mean, maybe that's just the way that they do business. You know,
it is the way they do business. It's the culture of the game. Now think about this, man. What I don't like is that they're throwing Sean Miller under the bus and they're making him seem like a fucking devil, but the dude was just abiding by the culture of the game these days. Tell me this, if he abides by every rule, doesn't land these, you know, five-star players and starts, you know, falling back, going to, you know, not even in the top five Pac-12 and barely sees the Sweet 16, what are they going to do to him? They're going to fire him, right? So,
Sean Miller's already fired, I think.
No, I'm talking about, no, they're going to fire him now because of the scandal, but I'm talking about they would have fired him for lack of performance. So you got a coach that's going to be fired for lack of performance. So but in reality, so he's doing basically paying these players. These boosters are paying these players and their families because that's what's needed to get these other guys. He's just basically playing the game. The game is, you pay to get these top guys to your program because you want to keep your job and you want to win games. And the way to keep your job is to get these, you know, five. Basketball is that one sport where it can be severely impacted by one player, where you get the top, you get one of the top five-star recruits in football. It's going to add some, you know, nice depth to your football team, but it's not going to win you a championship unless it's like one of the best quarterbacks of all time. You know, unless you got like Andrew Luck or something like that, who, when he came out and, you know, put Stanford on his back. But for the most part, a five-star player, he's not going to change a whole lot. You put one five-star player on like Alabama and shit, and they become a tournament team instantly. You know what I mean? Like Basketball is only five guys on the court, and one guy can make a massive difference. And say you land one five-star guy, well, then you might land another five-star guy that plays AAU with them, or two four-stars are going to come with them. You know what I mean? They all come together. They're all friends. They all play basketball all over the country together. And
Ohio State when they brought in Greg Oden. I mean, Mike Conley and Daquan Cook were like part of the package.
Yeah, they all came together. And that's what happens all over the place. So, like, I think that, you know, it's kind of shitty to paint, you know, Sean Miller as this, like, you know, evil, you know, outlier. But no, he's not. He did all that stuff because he needed to compete with the Dukes and the Michigan State and the Kentucky and all the other guys they're doing. Like, look what Kentucky was a couple years ago. Their B squad was good enough to be a Final Four team. They were that stacked. That's because they probably paid the right couple of guys, and then they brought all the other guys with them. You know what I mean? So you got all these Kentucky fans. Kentucky basketball fans are some of the stupidest fans in the history of sports. They're so stupid. And they have all these shirts where they have, like, it's like the NCAA bracket, and it's like Louisville versus FBI, and then they got the FBI going to the winner's side. Well, dude, laugh it up. Fucking laugh it up, Kentucky. I'm not even a Louisville fan, but laugh it up because your day is coming. Kentucky is going to get the hammer because Calipari invented the one-and-done culture.
Oh, yeah.
Calipari invented that culture that we see today, and he also, you know, he's linked to all kinds of scandalous shit. You know, from the time he was at Memphis and UMass to now. So I don't want to hear shit. You guys are going to get the hammer. It's coming. And I can't wait. I can't fucking wait. I actually want – all right, first of all, I believe that you should be able to do some things. So when I say this, we'll talk about what I think they should be able to do. But since it's within the rules, I kind of want all these programs to get smashed. I want them all to get smashed because I want to see how fucking amazing it would be to collapse NCAA basketball for a couple of years and let it rebuild itself. I'm the type of dude that wants to see the fucking ground burn. I'm that guy. And I want to see it. I want to see all these programs get fucking nailed and get put on probation where they can't even go to the postseason for 1 year. So basically that you will not see any of the top teams in the NCAA tournament. I want that to happen. That way, these fucking teams learn their lesson and they do things the right way. On the contrary, I believe that you should be able to pay something. There's got to be some sort of way to compensate these players more than just a fucking bullshit scholarship. Yeah. I hate when people say, oh, they get free scholarship. Huh?
Yeah, there's a couple things I would change for sure. We kind of brushed on this last week, but likeness rights. I mean, if they sell the jersey with their number on it, they should be able to sell the jersey with their name on it, and the guy should make some money. 100%.
Yeah.
Like the star players should be raking it in on jersey sales. They should be getting a cut because basically what they do right now is they just sell the jersey without the name on it with their number that they currently are. And everybody buys that number. And all you're buying is just the jersey from the property of the university with a number that could be anybody that has ever played that number. So it's bullshit. And same thing with the NCAA college basketball games. Like all the players in the game have like the exact same statistics and abilities as the real players in real life. Like I remember I bought NCAA like 06 so I could play like as Nate Vandersloos on Miami. Cause I just thought that was the coolest thing that I could play as somebody I knew, you know? And
yeah,
but it wasn't really Nate Vandersloos. His name wasn't Nate Vandersloos. He was just like number 72 for Miami. The 7-foot white guy. So what they really need to do is get likeness rights, give these guys the ability to make money off of their image, autograph signings, all kinds of cool shit like that, which they deserve, and allow them to sign agents. There's other sports in college that allow you to sign with an agent. I think NFL does, and a couple others that doesn't end your amateur status. So I know that opens like a can of worms where then because right now the agents are interfering in college. And then if you allow them to sign in college, then they'll start interfering in high school. But I don't give a fuck. Like these guys should be signing with agents. Like they need people that actually can give them a little guidance instead of like dudes that they just grew up with that are just don't know what they're doing with the kind of money they're seeing.
Another thing is like, if like they go to a Nike school, I think that they, you know, they shouldn't be making money from Adidas. I think there should be some rules to it. But I think that, you know, these players, they should, like you said, they should be able to make money off their likeness. I think that they shouldn't hold them hostage to a college scholarship. A college scholarship is not anything in the pockets of these te- of these people. Like one player could bring a couple million dollars to the to that team in 1 year. You know what I mean? And I think that they should stop this shit where they're like not letting players go straight to the NBA from high school. They should do it like they do it in baseball. They should just let these dudes go and enter themselves in the draft. And then when they're in the draft, they need to, you know, find out where they're going to get drafted. And then if they like the idea of where they're going to get drafted, you know, projected wise, they can stay in the draft. If they don't, they can get back out of the draft and go to college. Like how the MLB does. Guys can get drafted out of high school, and then they decide to turn that contract down. They'll go to college and play for a couple of years and then get redrafted again. You know, they turn that draft down. So I think that's what they need to do. There's plenty of there's plenty of players that came from high school in the NBA that were, you know, wildly successful. You know, KG and Kobe and LeBron are going and Tracy McGrady and Amari Stoudemire. Like some of these guys are going in the Hall of Fame. People always point to Kwame Brown. Well, the dude made over $60 million in his career. He wasn't a bust. He just wasn't a good number one pick, but he played in the league for like over a decade. The dude was in the league for a long time. He just didn't put up the stats like you would for a number one pick, but he had no business ever being the number one pick. Blame Michael Jordan for him being the number one pick. Don't blame Kwame Brown. Call him a bust. He's not a bust. He was just picked at the wrong spot by a dumbass. Michael Jordan was a shitty GM. So I don't think you can't create a narrative from people like Kwame Brown and shit like that, like that weren't good coming out of high school. I still think you should give them the opportunity. If NBA teams want to give them the shot, then give them the shot. I don't feel like it killed college basketball. What's killing college basketball is this shit. You got people, you know, paying players under the table and you're stacking teams constantly. And, you know, you're creating a market in an environment that's unfair. And when you have an unfair market, you create a black market. You know what I mean? So now there's like this black market going on, you know, underneath the you know, what's the rules, you know, they're going behind the rules and they're doing their own thing. And what the fuck did they think they're going to do? You know, when you're putting this much pressure, especially today, I feel like there's more pressure on these coaches today, like in college football. Like if you were going to bowl games every year, you were like a 20-year, 10-year coach back in the day. You know what I mean? Like you basically could stay as long as you went to bowl games. Now you can have 3 or 4 8-win seasons and then they're still firing your ass. Like look at Mark Richt at Georgia.
Or Harbaugh. Mark Richt was he's had decent years every year, but he loses to Ohio State every time. And now there's a lot of pressure on him.
Yeah, tons of pressure. Plus, Harbaugh's recent, this past recruiting class was like not even top 20. That was horrible. So I don't think Harbaugh to me is a huge failure. He's already a failure in my eyes.
Yeah.
I think what's going to take him is
you have to recruit, you have to coach, you have to win. Like there's so many things that you have to do really well. You have to keep your players out of trouble. And a lot of times people have to bend the rules to make a lot of that happen. Especially with the amount of money that these guys are making too. I mean, when you have coaches making millions and millions of dollars and players making zero, what do you think's going to happen?
You know what? That's another thing. These NCAA programs that are, why are they giving so much guaranteed money to these coaches? And then they're making their buyouts like amazingly high, like unreasonably high. Like, why do they do that? They need to backload the contract. Well, they don't. That's a problem. Like, once they hit that pickle, they're like, oh, well, can we really fire him? We're going to owe him $16 million. Well, that's your whole fucking problem. You shouldn't have put that in the contract.
Well, a lot of times, coaches won't sign without those kind of guarantees because that means
and they used to until some retard
the pressure to win.
There's always precedent.
Like, if they're going
to
You know what I mean, though? If they're going to leave their school that they're currently at, they need a huge, like, front-end loaded deal that's going to give them some security for them to build a program. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I can understand why that happens, because if what one school doesn't give that to that dude that's in high demand, another school will. Like, he goes to the school that's going to give him the best, sweetest deal.
Because a dumbass set some sort of precedent at one point where they just all of a sudden just handed – it's like what they're doing with these franchise tags and like giving Kirk Cousins all this money. And then like, where did that come from? Like, where the hell did that idea come from to be able to franchise somebody and pay them astronomical amounts of money? Like, and then like, I don't understand where these contracts came from. Why do they every year they just overblow these players? Like Tyler Johnson from the Miami Heat makes like 70 some thousand. He signed like a 3-year, $70 million contract, or it might be 5-year. It was $71 million.
Like, he's not even like starting, and he's making like what? Like a 6-year, $80 million or more, probably more than that.
That's what I'm talking about. It's like, where are they getting this money? Why did they choose to put this money in the hands of these players, and they're fucking themselves? Like, you know, why do they choose to give like, who just signed the richest contract in football? Who was that?
Wasn't it Garoppolo?
Yeah, no. Yeah, Garoppolo. You know I'm a huge fan of Garoppolo. But why did they have to pay him that much money? Like, it all started when Stafford signed his huge contract, and before him Andrew Luck and Michael Vick and, you know, Peyton Manning and all these guys. Like some of these guys deserve big money. Like, that doesn't mean that they suck. I'm saying they suck and don't deserve big contracts. I'm just saying that you set a precedent each year when you just keep upping the ante and giving these guys more and more money. And what's sad is you're giving people like Joe Flacco and people like that, like, massive contracts. And then you're just giving all the leverage to the players. Like, and these teams are handicapping themselves. Like, yeah, of course you can't build talent around your team because you're too busy paying your quarterback a shit ton of money. That's why I love Tom Brady. The dude took such a pay cut because he knows he's going to make endorsement deals. His wife's rich, and like, he wanted to win, and he knows where his legacy is going to be made. So, you know, he took a little bit of a pay cut for his team. And, you know, LeBron does, you know, he did too. And, you know, that's a sign of a great player. That's like, you know, ready to win championships. And I just think the precedent's been set so shitty. I think the NCAA is the most crooked, corrupt, worst run organization in the fucking world. The NCAA is so corrupt. They know everything that's going on. They pick and choose who they want to lay out and slaughter for sacrifice. And then the FBI basically came out and put a big fuck you in their face. The NCAA cannot afford all these teams to get penalized. They really can't. But they're going to have to do it. But they really can't afford it, right? Like, what are they going to do?
If they don't do it, they're going to be the biggest fucking hypocrites.
Yeah, but if they do it, they're going to lose a shit ton of money, and then March Madness is going to suck.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think they need to change it. I think inevitably, who was it? I think it was Jalen Rose on ESPN, or was he on Fox or ESPN? Who cares what he's on? He said today that he thinks that the players should boycott March Madness until they start being able to make money. That's what he said. He said these players should take
it to themselves. Everybody but the players rakes in off of March Madness. Everybody but the players.
Oh, everybody.
Like, and that's all the betting sites make a shit ton. The colleges make a shit ton. The athletic directors, the coaches, the NCAA as a general, all the cities that they play all the major games in rake it in. I mean, it's disgusting. And the people that they're all making all the money off of are getting paid a scholarship.
Yeah, and then you get people in the comments
for a school that they're probably not even like going to get a degree from.
Yeah, well, they're talking about, well, they're getting a full ride scholarship, dude. Like, it's so amazing that they should be grateful that they're getting a full ride scholarship and not leaving and all this debt. I'm like, those people that say that, I just want to punch them in the face. I'd be like, shut the fuck up. You're that slave boy for your work. You'll never be a boss. You'll always be working for the boss. Like, you don't think outside the box. Those people are losers. They're fucking losers. And I have no problem telling those people they think like a loser. They think like a tiny dick loser. Don't think like that. Think big. These guys should think big. they're making all this money and they want a piece of the pie. Why would they not think about that? They're the ones making the money for the NCAA. And the NCAA is just a joke. And I think that instead of giving them scholarship money, well, they should give them scholarship money, but they should also give them, you know, how do I put this? Basically, everybody talks about how, like, oh, well, these academic people are not, you know, treated the same as athletes. Well, yeah, they are, because academic scholarships are rampant all over. You know, I know people who have gotten academic full ride scholarships. I know people that got at least 3/4 of their college paid for and free room and board based off academics and other sports, Title IX, like women's sports and stuff like that. And think about this: if they have to start paying these players likeness and all that shit, and the teams that are going to benefit the most are these Title IX teams, because women's sports, with the exception of maybe like UConn women's basketball, they all lose money, all of them. And a lot of like lower tier men's sports, like I love NCAA wrestling. I'm a big college wrestling fan, but I know that most of them lose money. So don't put any butts mm-hmm. in the stands, you know, except for like Penn State and Iowa and Ohio State. Like those programs do, but there's other smaller programs that can't put people in the stands and they lose money, but they're still a program. But most women's sports programs lose money. Well, you start you start bringing in revenue to these players, you know, it's going to grow these sports. So, yeah, I think that at the end of the day, they have to pay players in some fashion, whether it be through letting them make money off themselves or they have like a stipend they give these players, something. But it's going to have to happen. They're going to have to pay them, and they're going to have to start letting people go pro whenever they want. They have to make some major changes, because they can't just slap an FBI probe on all these coaches and expect it to change and basically scare them straight, right? You can't really do that, because mm-hmm. it's not the culture that they've built. They built this culture, and they're going to have to deal with it. You know, do you agree with me on that?
Yeah, I do. And they're going to have to adapt to what they've already created. They can't just start fresh. So no. They have to accept a lot of the fuck-ups that they made, that they allowed to happen because of the culture that they've created. And they just need to make major sweeping changes. And a lot of it should involve rewarding the players. Because if you're going to force a guy to, you know, like the whole one-and-done situation, they're taking a whole year out of a guy's career.
Yeah.
Right now. I mean, that's just think how much money he's missing out on. Like guys that are surefire first-round draft picks.
Yeah, and they're wasting time.
To risk everything to play 1 year at school that they don't care about right now.
Risking injury. Yeah, mm-hmm. I was listening to Clay Travis and his take on this, and he was talking about how he changed his mind on, you know, the NCAA rule for football players because of what he saw happen to Marcus Lattimore, which I don't know if people remember who Marcus Lattimore is, but Marcus Lattimore was a fucking badass running back for South Carolina. Like, probably would have won the Heisman if he didn't blow his knee out. And he not only did he blow one knee out, he blew the other knee out because he started as a true freshman and was just amazing as a true freshman. Then the following year, he blew his right ACL out. Then the following year after that, he blew his left ACL out, and he had never really recovered. And he ended up winning like a little insurance settlement because his career got ended. Made a couple $1 million, and now he's like back on the South Carolina coaching staff. But that dude, after his first year, could have easily went pro, and he could have been an NFL running back as a true sophomore in college. And instead, he ended up with 2 blown out knees, and his career's over. So I think that, and then I guarantee there's a lot of players that are like that. They're, you know, the careers get fucked. Like, who is that Oregon cornerback that the Browns took in like the 7th round?
Browns. 7th round, and then they just released him because he never recovered.
Mpay or something like that. He had it was some African
UBS.
Name. Yeah. That dude was going into the senior year, junior year, one of the two.
Pray Olamu.
Yeah. He was like one of the top cornerbacks in the whole country. He's projected 1st rounder. Gets hurt, doesn't play his senior year, and then he goes like in the 7th round of the Browns as like a as like a, yeah, we'll see what happens kind of pick. Never made the team, never played it down, and I don't think he's in the league anymore. And he should have been gone. You know, he should have been out the league. He should have gotten into the league.
Waived by the Browns after never playing, and then he got picked up, claimed by the Dolphins, and then they waived him like 4 months later. He got placed on injured reserve for the second
straight regardless, season, you know?
And then released by the Dolphins.
Yeah, he may have been a bust regardless, but you never know. You know, I just know that he got hurt. So they just need to change the policy altogether. The NCAA, like I said, is the biggest joke. It's the biggest failure in all of sports, and they just need to make a change. They need to make a change big time. So, yeah, I'm done. You know what?
Good
I hate
rant.
When I get these. I hate when I get these pop-ups on my computer for like antivirus. Your scan starts now. I'm like, it's fucking.
You know, usually. A lot of those antivirus programs like put shit on your computer that make you like dependent on
it. I would not doubt it.
I will never download like any special antivirus program. Like the only thing I will ever use is whatever comes with my computer. And then I the only thing I add is like pop-up blocker or ad blocker for like Google Chrome. Just an extension so you don't have to watch ads when you watch YouTube videos and all kinds of other shit.
Yeah. But, all right, man, I'm done with that. Do you got anything else to add?
Oh, not really. I mean, I guess I can throw in a gem or two if people are interested. Yeah, let's go.
Yeah, that's good. Let's hear it.
All right, I got a couple comedy specials. I haven't had time to like just sit down and watch movies or anything, but what I like doing when I'm tired is I just put on a good comedy special on Netflix and I just like lay down and I either pass out or if it's really good, it keeps me up. And there's a couple that kept me up. Chris Rock's new special, Tambourine, just came out. It's on Netflix. It's fucking hilarious. And then one of my all-time favorite specials. I've probably watched this on Netflix about 6 or 7 times already, and I will probably watch it again soon. But Anthony Jeselnik, Thoughts and Prayers, I mean, just tears a whole asshole into like the whole culture of the people that just, I mean, that's just a small part of it, of the people that just, thoughts and prayers, another tragedy, thoughts and prayers.
Is that on Netflix?
Yeah, it's on Netflix. It's one of the best stand-up specials ever. I mean, he's one of the most brutally offensive comedians, and he's my one of my all-time favorites. Like extremely dark comedian. Like his jokes, I mean, he's like a pedophile in his jokes, he's a serial killer in his jokes. You name it, he does it in his jokes, and he pushes extremes, which is what I like. So, Anthony Jeselnik, Thoughts and Prayers. Highly recommend checking that out. And if you're offended by it, go fuck yourself. So,
pretty much.
All right.
You gotta love
and, shout out to the Belly Up Sports Hottest Softball Team contest. I will reveal my votes. Let's see. I went with. I totally forget who I voted for in the SEC, but I know in the Big Ten, I went with Penn State. Big 12, I went with Iowa State.
Nice.
Pac-12, I went Washington. I went Team Sharples. And ACC, I think I went, who did I go ACC? Georgia Tech.
Yeah, I don't know who I went with ACC. I don't know if I voted ACC yet. I gotta go through those photos. Let's take a look. Don't forget to go to that, guys.
I know who I voted with on a Big 12. It was Tennessee.
Who?
Just because all you saw was ass.
I like that.
For SEC,
I've given the girl a little benefit of the doubt. But, yeah, Texas A&M has a pretty bomb-ass team, too. They're pretty hot. So yeah, guys, don't forget to go to bellyupsports.com. The link's right there in the description of this video. It's America's hottest softball teams. Check out, you know, bellyupsports.com for all the blogs, latest blogs. Bellyupsports Twitter, Bellyupsports Facebook page. That's pretty much it for us. And then the Yad Odds podcast Facebook page and our, you know, YouTube, SoundCloud, all that shit. That's all on the bellyupsports.com.
There we go. So without further ado, let's end on a high note. Mega Man 3, baby.
Yeah. Peace, bitches.